A very, very busy final hour of the drive. Dave, Katie, and Nate, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Still have two pair of tickets to go see The Godfather, which Katie has never seen. Kind of fun to see that in a big theater again.
I'm excited.
Monday, August 1st, we'll give those away in this hour. Aaron Aflalo will join us at the bottom of the hour to talk about coming to the Sacramento Kings. And we got to get to finishing up our Kings villains. In the last segment, if you missed it, we were talking about the WNBA players being fined for wearing shirts. Also talking about the NBA's impending decision to move the All-Star game from Charlotte due to some laws there that do not work for the NBA and do not work for many, many people. And we were discussing, do you draw a line? How much do you want your players and your athletes and your franchises involved in political and social statements? And we have some phone calls to get to before we switch to the Kings. Chris, you're on the drive. Welcome in.
Hey, thanks guys for taking my call. So a couple things. One, I think Katie's saying that comparing Joe Plummer to an NBA player losing their endorsements compared to a guy losing his job, it's not even a close comparison. If I express my political views, I'm getting fired, you know, basically. If an NBA player does it, yeah, they may lose some endorsements. People are going to support that more than, you know, just a kind of average Joe Schmo. With the players being able to support their things, I think it's a very fine line that teams have to draw with that because of all the cleanup that could have to come into it. If you're just allowing them to kind of support one thing, you have to be able to allow every player to express their opinion, because if you don't, you're basically, in a sense, not supporting all causes and playing favorites to certain ones.
Appreciate it, Chris. Thank you.
I understand what Chris is saying about it's not the same as, you know, an average, you know, person that goes in and maybe makes $50,000, $30,000 a year and the risk of losing their job. The point I was trying to make is there is some risk involved. It is not the same. It's not comparable in terms of the money when you do the math.
A millionaire loses $100,000. Yes. It's different than a guy making 50 grand a year getting fired with three kids. That being said,
it's not $100,000.
What I'm using, you know, silly numbers. That being said, if I'm assuming Chris has a quote unquote normal job, meaning non-athletic, non-superstar in the sports world, if he goes to work and he talks to Sally or Bill about the national convention and maybe says something like we need guns or something inflammatory, I don't know, whatever it may be, yes, he may have issues. But here's the other thing: he's not going to have eight reporters outside his house afterwards saying, Chris, you talked to Sally by the water cooler during the lunch break there. There is a fishbowl and a microscope that athletes are under that us normal Joes and Janes are not. But, yeah, there is a difference. Rob, you're on KHDK. Hi, Rob. Rob going once.
Rob didn't want a piece.
Yeah, Rob. Rob's – that whole thing got – I'll put Rob back on hold, Matt, if you want to – actually, just let Rob know. We're going to move on here. So I don't want to say a fun topic. I think it's a topic that has a lot of passion to it.
It's a topic that comes up
from time
to time.
It is a topic that absolutely comes up.
No.
Go ahead, Nate, because here's the thing. I could be wrong, and I apologize in advance if I am. I really do. I feel, are you holding back a little bit?
No, not really. Okay. I don't know, these conversations I just always find sticky because, like, well,
they are.
You know, what if? You know, what if something happened? It's like, well, all of these things, we can't set hard and fast rules for things that come to, like, political activism and stuff like that because the goalposts change every couple of years. I mean, it was just in, like, 2008 that Hillary Clinton was not even in favor of same-sex marriage. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the things change over time and our social goalposts change. You can't set a hard and fast rule for things, but that's why they have, you know, like the pregame dress code. Like you brought up, hey, what if a guy goes out there and is Second Amendment t-shirt? Well, you know, he'll get fined like everyone else because he's breaking the rules. Now, when it comes to those guys wearing the I Can't Breathe t-shirts, that's just a matter of Adam Silver looking at a situation and making a decision that fit that situation. And you know what? If someone else wants to come up and a group of guys want to, I don't know, wear conflicting t-shirts with that, that's a mess he's going to have to deal with when that comes in front of him. But by making some sort of like sweeping generalization rule, that's just going to cause more problems.
Can we just real fast not brush over the fact that the reason that there is the uniform protocol in terms of both you know, the uniforms and the pregame warmups, all of that is based on money that the NBA makes. It's a deal with their sponsor. They've all, because all these players have different sponsorship deals.
Well, the WNBA, the shirts that they wore that they got fined for, they made sure they were Adidas shirts, which is the official sponsor, and so
yeah,
got fined
they,
for
they
them
had
too.
To make sure that they put an Adidas logo on it. So yes, but again, every game there's some different thing. Whether it's the we go green, and that's the, you know, it's the pink game.
Maybe I don't believe in recycling.
Yes.
I mean, that's fine. You break
but
the
no,
rules,
I mean,
you get fined.
I mean, the thing is
Spencer
like,
Hawes never wore a shirt. He's spoken up about the Second Amendment before, right? I mean, like, that's – but not,
but that's the question. As a fan, who are the true bosses, the consumers of the product, as fans, wouldn't it be – and I
well,
shudder to
do you
to
like
use,
or hate Spencer Hawes more for his politics, well, or does it even matter to you?
No,
you
he
hate
hates
Spencer
him
Hawes
because he's from Seattle.
Right, because
and,
Spencer Hawes is a chump.
Well, I mean, you know, it's funny.
It doesn't make you like him more if you agree with his politics.
It may not be politics, but Spencer Hawes's off-court comments have made a lot of people who liked him once dislike him, even though it's not political. I shudder to use the term easier because easier isn't always the better. But doesn't it simplify things if the commissioners turn to their athletes and say, guys, you're adults and you're human beings and you're part of America and your freedoms are protected. This is a workplace. So here's the deal. There are no adjustings of anything. There are no political statements. We're not going to make any anymore. We're just going to continue to operate.
Yeah, right.
We're going to keep it off the court. What if you want to have an interview with Sports Illustrated at your house and you want to say that you believe that you should be able to marry a dog and a cat, whatever it may
that'd
be.
That'd be extraordinarily ignorant of the league.
It's the same thing. It would be the same thing as the NFL
things?
Coming out
no,
and saying, you know what, we're not going to take a stance on domestic violence because that's political.
Fair
we're not going to get
we're
into
not
that.
We're not going to take a stance
fair
on
point.
Concussions either.
Fair point. Both fair points.
We're in it to make money.
So I'm asking now, do you believe, and we talked about this a little bit during the break off the air, do you believe there is a gray area when it comes to, I think we can all agree that domestic violence is a bad thing. Yeah, we're all behind that one. We can all agree that discrimination is a bad thing. We're all behind that. Do you run the risk of getting into social and political statements that are not as black and white as that, that are gray? Like we said, that are talking about if somebody wears a Second Amendment shirt, if somebody is wearing some sort of, if they go religious and condemn homosexuality or whatever, they might be their beliefs, and we may look at them and completely disagree with them, but newsflash, there are a couple things that you believe strongly, Nate, and there are a couple things I believe strongly and she believes strongly that somebody else who's a perfectly good person is going to think we're nuts.
That's fair, but you know, just because someone believes
think,
it strongly doesn't
over,
mean it's not a bad opinion.
I think the overall umbrella thing that we're missing out on here right now, we can talk about this until we're blue in the face.
We are.
We're not ever going to come to a conclusion, an answer, because it's all opinion-based. The overriding question here is, as a fan, are you going to stop being a fan because you're seeing political statements? Are you going to stop going to games? Are you going to stop buying jerseys? Are you going to stop buying tickets? Are you going to stop buying your league passes? That's really what it comes down to. If you have a problem with anything, what do? You stop consuming
money.
It. You stop giving your money. And that when that happens to the degree that it hits them in the pockets, they'll change their policies.
Well,
Until then, they're not changing their policies.
Then it becomes a business decision. Speaking of business decisions, by the way, we talked yesterday when the preseason schedule got released. And we saw that Maccabi Haifa is the first game, preseason game of any sort at Golden One. And we talked about how it's kind of disappointing that the first basketball experience isn't the real opening night game there. So as promised, I made a couple phone calls and talked to people that know things down at Sleep Train, now Golden One Center. And this is the answer I got. I think we kind of guessed this correctly. I was told that as great as it would be to have the very first time people step in the arena for basketball, it to be opening night. And I'm paraphrasing here, the person talking to me is like, Dave, this is such a huge undertaking. There are so many things involved, and we can only role play so much without having 18,000 people present. We can have our security in place. We can flush the toilets. We can run the concessions. But there's a big difference when you have 18,000 people coming in and out and moving around the arena. So consider the two preseason games is what we'd like to call a soft opening, much like a new business, where opening night, we're going to
like your friends and family, like what at a restaurant.
Exactly.
You have your friends and family for the first, you know, like night. You don't open up to the public. I get that. I absolutely get that. That's where reason comes in. However, a lot of time in sports, reason does not apply.
Yes,
it's like it's like this idealistic, like, oh, I wish the first game could be the opening night. It would be so spectacular.
And I think they share, and that's one thing the person said. Said, listen, we get that. Totally. That would be great in a real world. But we want the opening night experience to be as flawless and seamless as possible. And the point that was made that I thought was really cool, he said, we're not showing our whole hand during these preseason games. The opening night experience is going to be far different from the preseason experience. We're not unveiling everything.
DeMarcus is playing 42 minutes against Maccabi Haifa.
Right.
Yeah.
There will be things on opening night, many, many things opening night that people that go to the preseason games are not going to experience, but they have to have, and the term again was a soft opening, they have to have a run through a couple times to get everything right. So that kind of made sense to me. Speaking of the new arena, you and a friend and three lucky winners and their three lucky friends will have an opportunity to come on a tour of the new arena with us before it opens.
With us!
A lot of people. There have been some people that have
140 KHDK.
Toured the arena. Many more that have not toured the new arena.
The last time, we actually went together, weirdly enough.
Yes, we have gone.
The three
gone.
Of us.
We
that was gone. The last time I've been, and that was in February, correct?
Yes.
A while ago.
But
yes,
there
February.
Are many, many fans that have not even stepped foot on the grounds. So we've got an opportunity for you to be able to do that, and we'll explain how that goes as we set our bracket. Now, in order to set the bracket, we need to come up with a few things. Now, to reset, what is this bracket? These are the biggest Kings villains in history. Now, it could be a player, it could be an owner, it could be a coach, it could be a broadcaster, it doesn't matter.
It could be an official.
Exactly. So we have a list here, and what we want to accomplish here in the next 10 to 12 minutes, and you can help us at 339-1140. Guys, I'm going to name off this list I have, this very finely culled, nicely put together list of villains, and we need to see if we're missing any. And this is in no particular order.
I've got one I bet that's not on there.
The fans will decide the seeding. We will put all the villain nominees. We will take the top 16 and make a mini bracket, and based on votes, that's how each will be seeded. The only difference we've decided for the sake of running this correctly is one of the four regions of four will be a Lakers region, because otherwise that is your entire bracket damn near. Spencer Hawes, we just talked about him. He has been nominated. The Maloofs. The officiating crew from Game 6, 2002. The national media. Pete D'Alessandro. The STOP organization. Julian Camacho, Isaac Gonzalez, Jim Cathcart, the ones that opposed the arena and cost the city a bunch of money. Charles Barkley. Shaquille O'Neal, which is funny because he's a part owner.
Yeah.
Robert Horry. Rick Bucher. Rick Fox. Jason Terry. Warrior fans.
Warrior fans? Jeez.
Hey, you nominate them, they're going in.
Okay.
Gold jerseys. That's a sleeper, by the way, those gold jerseys.
I didn't mind those that much.
Oh, God, I hated those things. Yeah. That was like one of the worst. That was one of the worst decisions, I think, in the history of the franchise.
You nominated that, didn't you?
No. Somebody called in. I think that was one of the worst decisions in the history of the franchise that didn't really matter. Like, of all the things that don't really matter, That's right up there with, this mattered, but the Maloof saying, you know what, we'll do that $6,000 burger commercial 2 weeks before the vote. Gold jerseys, Kenny Thomas, and Olden Polonese.
I'm a dark horse here, and it might not make the list, but no love for Derek Fisher's stupid headband over his ears. Like, can we do very specific? That, oh man, I was just reminded of how much that used to just drive me crazy. Just, dude, it's not that cold in the gym.
And your ears aren't that
big. Maybe he had big ears. What?
I mean, it might be selfish.
Probably.
Jim Gray doesn't get a vote.
Oh, you got me.
I think that's one we can
Jim
all get
Gray
on board.
Absolutely goes in. In case you missed it, Jim Gray, I like to say it like this. Jim
in
Gray,
in case you missed
Jim
it.
Jim Gray filled in for Katie for a few
for a couple
games.
Years.
339-1140.
Which is also why the Maloofs are maybe on my list.
1-800-920-1140. Some text nominations here. Marco Bellinelli's Twitter.
I don't know. We're blocked. We're all blocked. So. Does it exist if we can't see it? I don't know.
Sauce Castillo.
Oh, jeez.
No, I'm not talking about Nick Stauskas. I'm just talking about that
Sauce
nickname.
Castillo.
Just the nickname in general. Chris Webber's knee. Oh, God. Oof. I see where they're coming from, too. Mayor Heather Fargo. Here's one that's not even on here. And again, this is where I want you at 339-1140 because I think Kings fans are missing a lot of these. I don't know. How about Chris Hansen? How about Chris Hansen
you
and Steve Ballmer?
Was there.
If you said if people nominate it, you got to put it on there. So all these are going to go up online,
and then
we're going to make the bracket, and the bracket's going to be voted on. Is that how it works?
No matter how silly, stupid, or whatever
so
people want to.
You put Chris Webber's knee on there.
Chris Webber's knee on here, yes. Yeah.
So you're putting Chris Hansen. That's your nomination?
Yeah, I'm putting Hansen Ballmer, which basically the Seattle ownership group. Webber's knee.
Heather Fargo.
I've got a question for you, Dave. If you have to come home and you can either like enter your house to Chris Hansen sitting there in your kitchen to tell you, hey, we're taking the Sacramento Kings, or you come home and you enter your house to find Chris Hansen sitting there and going, you're on Dateline NBC.
Oof. I thought you were going to say Chris Hansen sitting there with my wife or something.
Wow.
And even then, I was going to be like, well, I'm sorry, Mel.
You still take Dateline.
Sorry, Melissa. Yeah, you're damn right I would. Virginia Beach is another nominee coming in on the text line.
Yeah, but it's like, it's not going to get any votes because they didn't do anything to us.
I agree, but it's going to go up there.
Does anyone even know where Virginia Beach is?
Yeah, I think it's in Idaho. Phil Jackson had not been nominated.
Oh, all right.
Good one there.
That was Phil Jackson. I mean,
Walton. Nobody's nominated
Kobe? Nobody?
Nobody has nominated Kobe.
Wow.
Nobody has nominated
That's
Kobe.
That's interesting.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Gary, who is your Kings villain that you feel needs to be nominated? Gary.
Big Gare.
Gary.
Gary. Gare the Bear.
I'll put Gary on hold. That always scares me when it's two in a row.
Yeah, it's two in a row.
David, you're on the drive. David. Yeah,
yeah,
see, now I feel like
something's wrong with
now
our
we got
phone
a phone
line.
Issue.
Yeah.
David.
Yeah.
There we go.
Hey, David. Who's your Kings villain?
What about any random bench player from any team going for a career high?
Oh, that's fantastic.
Tony Delk?
Yeah. Every player.
Who did we name the award after this year? Was it Troy Daniels that lit him up for like 25 straight out of the D-League or something like that?
Yeah.
Was that the guy from New Orleans?
No, was it New Orleans?
And yeah. I remember like that's
remember
when Jason
that
and I started the Kings killer game because it was like, dude, this is like the fifth guy to do this year.
Wait, hold on a second. Now, and I'm not trying to be funny here, but I always knew that one of the ones, damn it, what was his name? He passed away. It was a horrible.
Oh.
He used to play for the Hawks.
Oh.
He got like
20. Boylock.
It was like 23 points and 20 boards, and it was like a horrible situation. Like he was found dead in a field, beaten.
Lorenzen Wright.
Oh. Lorenzen Wright was to me one of the original Kings killers because he it's like he would go off for 20 and 20 every damn time he played us. So what we come up with
can we nominate Mikey Moore then? Because the only reason he ever got his contract with the Kings is because he killed them when he was playing for New Jersey.
Didn't we sign somebody? Wasn't one of the guys we signed somebody who killed us last year? Was it?
We do that all the time.
No, but was it?
Anthony Tolliver.
Was it Tolliver? Yeah, it might have been. All right.
Troy Daniels had a career high 28 off the bench against the Kings this year. The Troy Daniels Memorial
scrub
that goes for a career high award.
Hey, Gary.
Hello?
Gary, who's your Kings villain?
I'm going to nominate Bill Walton.
There you go.
When he was a commentator, oh my gosh, it's like nails on a chalkboard.
Awful.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, I've come around on the guy a
I
lot.
I like him, but I
but
get it.
But in the early Kings-Lakers days, oh my Lord, there was nothing worse than sitting down for a Sunday NBA on NBC matchup for the Kings, and it didn't even have to be the Lakers. It could literally
Jazz.
Be, it could be anybody.
Yeah.
Bill Walton's on the call. The Kings are getting no love.
Nothing. Hated him.
Isn't he kind of like the Vin Scully of basketball announcing?
How dare you?
I mean, I understand where you're going, but how dare you?
It's really tough in basketball. I get it in baseball because you have a lot of time to fill, and you can fill in, you know, these long periods of actionless action.
Actionless action.
Exactly. But in basketball, he will just not talk about basketball, and he'll be talking about, you know, World War II and the, you know, he goes off on these tangents that are just insane. They're interesting, but not while you're watching a basketball game.
You said I have to nominate anything that's submitted, right?
Oh, Lord.
So do we, somebody just nominated wins. That's mean-spirited.
Well played.
A playoff spot.
Honestly, not my favorite of the last five texts. That my favorite would have to go to somebody nominating Nick Freshour's vest.
Oh,
who's that?
Well, Scott. It's Scott Freshour. Fresh, and I love his vests. Yeah. Not nominating that.
He's not allowed to wear them anymore, though, by the way. So
somebody, we've had a couple people that want to nominate Kinko's from when Stan Van Gundy faxed off his. Remember, we were going after Stan Van Gundy, and he used a Kinko's to communicate and fax off a contract with Orlando where he eventually signed. You remember that story at all? Everyone's nominating Kinko's. Okay. Oops, wrong line. Sorry. No, you haven't been screened yet. Sorry, brother. And here's John. Hi, John.
Hey, how's it going? I want to nominate Kansas City.
Kansas City?
Why Kansas City?
Yeah, I figured, I mean, I don't want to say we took the team, but, hey, I mean, we got the team from them, so. But
so then do we nominate Sacramento as a Sacramento villain, or do we nominate Kansas City because we stole their team?
Why is Kansas City a Kings villain?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Why is Kansas City a villain of the Kings? They're like.
I mean, if I lived in Kansas City and I was older, I kind of wouldn't like Sacramento. You know what I mean?
No, I do.
Hey, the boy needs to put down the blunt.
Great point. somebody nominating, and I think this is great. Somebody nominating.
Because I'd hate us, too, if I was Kansas City.
Somebody nominated power balance wristbands.
Oh, my goodness.
Anyone say Quincy Doobie yet?
Wow. Can we do the duct tape that didn't hold up the power balance signs?
All right. So we have the Kings villains. Here's what will happen. Probably sometime next week, in the next few days, few weeks, we will post all of these nominees up. If you missed any, you can hit us up on Twitter at @KD_C, at @DNateGoodyear, at @CarmichaelDave. We'll put everything up.
At the Drive 1140.
Aaron Aflalo when we get back on the Drive. Sports 1140 KHDK. All right, this is cool. Kings have made a lot of moves in the offseason. Four draft picks, along with Bogdan Bogdanovic, who will be here perhaps in a couple of years.
You're getting better at these names, Dave.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And have also signed a handful of new free agents.
Yes, they have.
That are coming to Sacramento. And one of those is a guy that I think we've all followed for a while. A lot of Kings fans have mentioned this guy's name over the years as a guy they'd love to see play with the Sacramento Kings. And Vlade went out and grabbed him. From UCLA, it is Aaron Aflalo. Aaron, I'm Dave. That's Katie and Nate. Thanks for joining us so early this morning. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thank you.
First question, why Sacramento?
Because Sacramento wanted me, and it's close to home. I love what they're trying to do, and I felt in free agency that at this point in my career, it's best to go to the place that's hungry for the things that you bring to a team, and I really wanted to be there.
Aaron, you've played in multiple places at this point and kind of had a little bit of a journey through the NBA. You've been in Detroit, Denver, Orlando, Portland, New York. I don't even think that covers. I think Toronto is one of them as well. Now you land in Sacramento. At this point in your career, what do you look at in terms of success in your career and success on the team that you've chosen to be with?
Yeah, I've been through a lot. I've been through a lot individually, and I've seen a lot over 10 years of, you know, what it takes to win. Coming in, like you said, to Detroit, a very veteran championship team, to playing in a place like Orlando where individually I could play a little bit better, but a lot of young guys. And I've just learned you have to be in an environment where, for one, individually, you know, the team values you, and they want you to play the best that you can play. and at the same time, you know, play with guys who are also all about winning. So hopefully that's the culture that's being set right now, and I feel like, you know, Sacramento is a perfect blend of both.
Aaron, you mentioned that, you know, a big part of this was the fact that the Kings wanted you. But, you know, what was it otherwise that you saw in this team and maybe, you know, front office coaching staff, too, that's going to help you succeed from an individual standpoint and then in turn translate to team wins?
Yeah, to be honest, that was the main thing. You know, I in free agency, I tried to make my way to New York, and a lot of times during contract years or whatever, you just get traded to different places for whatever reason. But, you know, I learned in this game and in this business, you have to go where the respect is mutual, where they really see a fit for you and you really understand what they're thinking. And it was just great. So to be honest, it was that. It was simply that Ken, the new GM, as well as Vladdy and Coach Yeager, they felt, you know, us as a team would be good.
Aaron Aflalo joining us on KHDK. Aaron, talk about what you will bring to this team. The backcourt has, let's be honest, a team with DeMarcus Cousins, who's one of the, if not the best, big men in the NBA. It's the backcourt, really, and the two-guard spot that fans and the team have been looking at as something to try to shore up. So what is it at this point that you're bringing in, and where do you see you fitting in with that offense and Dave Yeager?
I suppose coaching. You know, he's going to allow us to play. He's always been a defensive guy, but, you know, like you spoke of, having a guy like DeMarcus and some of the bigs that we have, you know, we're pretty solid there. So I plan on to bring in that same stability, you know, in the backcourt. You know, I've known Darren for a long time. Obviously, I know Rudy and Matt at this point. So I know the mentalities of the guys and what this team is capable of. So I'm just excited to kind of, you know, get into the mix and hopefully do something special.
Aaron, you've been in the NBA for a while, and you've been on some successful teams and some teams that have struggled, as you mentioned earlier. When you look at this roster as it's made up right now for the Kings, what are the immediate needs that you feel are still areas that need to be addressed?
You know, it's interesting to me. Obviously, we have some young guys who, with four rookies and a few other young players, but, you know, when I look down the line as the team is constructed today, you know, speaking to the coaches and the management, it's about basketball this year. And if we make it about basketball and not the back of jerseys, we have a really good team. We have guys at every position that, you know, are very tough, either mentally tough or physically tough, and as well as skilled. So, as long as we play together and the mindset there is to compete, represent Sacramento correctly, we have a chance. So, you know, no immediate pressing need that I see, but, you know, for me, it's just about playing the right way and getting the job done.
Aaron Aflalo of the Kings joining us on KHDK. Aaron, it's you know, you went to college at UCLA. It's been several years since then, but I'm kind of curious, whenever we get guys from UCLA, when you were there, you know, John Wooden's a guy that, even if playing in like junior high basketball, you've heard of John Wooden because of what he did for the game. When you were at UCLA, how present was the influence of John Wooden, and how often do you fall back on his principles even today?
No, it was amazing. I mean, he was so sharp, you know, even in his later years, he was so sharp. You know, he would speak to me about little details about the game, and it was just very impressive. But I think the most glaring thing was just the detail as well as the pressure to win. And I think being in the NBA, even in a place like Sacramento that really loves their team and gets behind their team, you have to have a pressure to win. So I've always grown up at UCLA with his influence of being very particular about my game, but, you know, feeling that pressure to win. And hopefully that's something that I can continue to carry on today.
And just out of curiosity, do you have the Pyramid of Success posted anywhere, like in your locker room or something like that?
No, not at all.
Have you ever read it?
Yeah, I have it.
It was required reading when I was at UC Santa Barbara because, you know, there was a direct relationship to our coaching staff to UCLA.
That's what fascinates
and
me.
Aaron,
like, I never even played college and we still got that.
Aaron, I actually had an opportunity when I was in college. We went down and met with John Wooden. We were about to go overseas and play, you know, for 10 days over there. And before we went to LAX, we went to his home and our entire team. And he brought us in and talked to him. Is
he not one of the most fascinating people to have been able to be in his presence?
Yeah, no, it was truly amazing. I don't have the pyramid of success in my locker, but I do value it. You know, he was a very special person, and you know, he touched a lot of people's lives.
Aaron, we appreciate you joining us, and I want to ask you something that's not, I don't know, I'm going to put you in a weird spot listen, shocker here, I am, and many listening, diehard Sacramento Kings fan, have been my whole life, and when we see somebody come in like yourself, there's always that new hope. You know, newsflash, this team has struggled over the last decade, culture issues, selfishness, lack of defense. So, Aaron, you've always been a dude that strikes me as someone who has a good head on his shoulders and busts his ass. So you coming in here, what can you do individually and with your teammates to help change that culture, make defense a necessity and something guys do on, you know, both ends of the floor? What can you do coming in there?
To be honest, I'm going to have to come in and be more of an example. You know, it's easy for me to talk about it and, you know, say what I can, you know, tell guys, but I think first and foremost from training camp, you know, I have to hold myself accountable and really give that effort on the defensive end of the court. You know, that was a reputation that I earned coming into the league, and I think it, more importantly at this point in my career, it's good that guys see that. But another thing is that in free agency, you learn a lot about yourself, what executives feel about you and coaches, how they truly feel about you, you know, because of the business side. And I can just say this is probably the hungriest I've ever been in my life to just prove myself as a player, not for selfish reasons, but, you know, just to show that I can really be a part of a team and help them go to the next level. And Sacramento wasn't too far from making the playoffs. So that's my goal, is to just to work hard and get these guys on the right train and get us into the playoffs. That's the plan.
Bam. Let's start tomorrow.
Like it.
Let's get start tomorrow. And by the way, you got a new arena to play in, too. It's good to have that new arena smell and everything.
Amazing. It's truly amazing. I took a tour of it. It's truly amazing.
We look forward to talking to you. Katie's going to be interviewing you on the sidelines throughout
the
season.
Stuck with me. Yeah.
Nate and I look forward
to watching
you
warm up.
Yeah, we'll hold up signs and watch you warm up. We appreciate you joining us. Welcome to Sacramento, Aaron. I know you'll find, and I'm sure you know this from being in the league a long time, these are very unique fans. You're going to enjoy the reception. We look forward to success this season.
Yeah, man, it's literally my home, so I'm happy to be here.
Thank you. That's Aaron Aflalo.
Nice.
Man.
Gives you the little nerdy chills, doesn't it?
You know it does.
Yeah, because you're like that super fan.
Yes.
So, like, it's like the excitement.
Yes.
Yes.
You can tell. I'm you know, if I've had the pleasure of interviewing many a person who, if you graded them on interview, they would be all-stars. But this is a guy in Aaron Aflalo that I know you have.
I mean,
I've liked him.
What a dork, right? The guy's a college graduate or something from UCLA. Like, he's just a professional that shuts up and does his job and works hard.
I'm excited.
Nerd.
What's not to like?
We're gonna like this guy, I think. We'll take a break. We'll come back, finish out the show on the Drive Sports 1140 KHDK. From the Matt George news desk, he just handed this to me. Thank you, Maddie. Let me find. This is so breaking news right now. It's amazing. Let me get the button up here, Hin.
I like that song for the
breaking news.
No, this one.
The Kings are refusing to listen to trade offers for DeMarcus Cousins, according to Steve Kyler of Basketball Insiders. Sacramento is aware of the Celtics' interest and has received an offer from the Cavs. However, it looks like the Kings are determined to keep Cousins, who has two seasons remaining on his contract. How often have we had this conversation? Jeez.
Sorry. I didn't even hear a word you said. I'm over here snapping.
11th and 12th caller at 339-1140. I'm just going to ignore it. 1-800-920-1140. You can get a pair of tickets to see The Godfather with Katie Christensen, who's never seen it before, along with Nate and myself, who have seen it. Studio Movie Grill in Rockland, Monday, August 1st, 6:30. Hey, learn more about the Leader of the In-Theater Dining Experience at studiomoviegrill.com.
You know, when we talk about trade rumors on the show in the future, Can we have it be something that involves the names Rudy Gay and Ben McLemore? Because those are the question marks right now. That's from before last season ended. Those were the names that it was pretty clear. Not only do I feel that Rudy Gay is still very upset with the organization after he you know, kind of upped his contract under Michael Malone. And then, like, I believe it was a week later, Michael Malone was let go. But at this point, it seems like he potentially would also like a trade. Ben McLemore was mentioned before the trade deadline, linked to Cleveland. I think it's pretty clear that maybe his agent would like him to have an opportunity somewhere else.
Ben Whacklemore at this point.
So, I mean,
hot take, Nate.
DeMarcus Cousins has some real value to this organization, to any organization. So his name is always going to be linked. And we're always going to hear the Kings aren't
you know when he's going to get traded? Is when we're not hearing anything about it.
Yeah.
When we don't hear a single thing about it and it blows everybody away.
I still think there's moves to be made in this offseason. There should be moves made in this offseason, in my opinion. It's not done. I just, at this point, in my personal opinion, I do not see it happening with a player with the name of DeMarcus Cousins.
Okay. A couple of sounds to take care of before we hit the road here. Here's Larry Fitzgerald on Talking Trash.
It's no fun.
Take away the lack of championships. Would it be fair to compare Larry Fitzgerald to Tim Duncan?
Yeah, I think so.
I love him so much.
So I obviously was in Phoenix for a long time. That is where Mr. Fitzgerald also resides and has for a very long time. Not only was he super supportive of our WNBA team, but I worked with him when I was at the news station. We had him on. He's a phenomenal person. He really is.
I love him.
Yes.
I love him so much in every way, shape, and form of his personality, the way he plays the game, the way he carries himself. I mean, you want to talk about a role model.
He absolutely is. And again, he's one of those guys that really takes a lot of pride in terms of giving back to the community that he lives in. And I don't have any problem with people talking trash. I personally was not someone that did that. My brain could not do that and focus on the task at hand. Like, I was not a multitasker in that way. I also didn't think it had any benefit, because when people talk trash to me, I was like, oh my God, I've got them. I'm in their head.
And like, some people talk trash to get into somebody else's head and break them down,
and
get them emotional.
It doesn't work for me.
Alabama coach Nick Saban has had a lot of hard questions to deal with stuff going around in Alabama and the upcoming season, defending their national title. But this might have been the most important question he's been asked all offseason. Nick Saban doesn't know what Pokemon Go is. I just wanted to hear him say Pokemon Go.
I in theory know what it is, but I don't know what it is at all.
Well,
I
Nick
know
doesn't.
That when I'm driving, I see signs that say, don't Pokemon and drive.
Really?
Yeah, there's a light up sign at the corner of Folsom and Sunrise on my way home.
They're all over here. I feel like it should go without saying, but apparently not. It's like the warning labels on like a bottle of shampoo. Don't eat it.
Yeah, don't use the hair dryer in the bathtub.
Yeah, it's
like that.
It's there because someone has made the mistake of doing that.
I had a horrible moment yesterday when I was driving back from the store with my son. You can put the game on and leave it on your seat, and it'll ding you up when there's a Poke Stop. I won't get into why that's important or whatever. And it ding ding. And it was at like a park. It was at a park in a suburban area, right?
Oh.
So I pulled over so that I could spin the little Poke wheel and get my Pokeballs. And as I did it, I looked over and I saw like two high school kids holding phones just on the corner, and they looked at me, and we like made eye contact and like gave me the nod, and I was like, oh dude, I really
look
need to shoot myself.
Yeah,
really, just
you're a 40 year old man driving around in your car collecting pokeballs or whatever they are.
Yeah.
Is that what they're called?
Pokeballs. And you shoot the pokeball, the wild Pokemon, and if you hit them on the head, they go in a little pokeball and you capture them and you put them in your Pokedex. Mark Cuban on the worst advice he ever received. Nate, your thoughts.
What? That started as a don't follow your passion, and I'm not sure where it went from there.
It went to, I just want to be better than everybody.
He's such a verbal gymnastics. Like, that's such a, I don't know, goofy argument to have. Listen, don't follow your passion, follow your effort. Like, okay.
Well, usually it would go without saying that your effort is usually directed at what you're passionate about, right?
I mean, but that's such a Mark Cuban thing to be like, actually, like, you're wrong. Here's the word you should really be using. Like, what you don't mean is that you like that glass of water you have there. You are enamored with it. I don't like Katie. I'm enchanted by her. I mean, come on. That's basically what he said.
I love Mark Cuban and I hate him.
He's such a goofball.
It's so weird. It's like a love-hate relationship that I have with this NBA owner.
I'll come on Shark Tank.
That's the type of thing that, like,
I love him on Twitter.
That just came into money say
I hate
to
him in timeouts.
Make it sound like they're smart.
You hate him in timeouts?
Yeah, I mean, he's in every freaking huddle. He's right there. He's on the sidelines. Like, I'm of maybe the silent minority that would prefer for the NBA owner to not be in the NBA timeout, like, of the team that he owns and be on the road with them and be the biggest cheerleader. Like, you're the owner. I kind of like the throwback owners like Jerry Colangelo that you never freaking saw him.
See, it's tough for me to hate that because if I owned an NBA team,
you would
are
be
you
the
kidding
most
me?
Obnoxious
I'd suit
owner
up.
Ever.
I would actually wear a jersey and shorts.
Follow your efforts, kids.
You're damn right. I'd be sitting on the bench, at the end of the bench, granted. I'd be on the bench with one of those hot Gatorade towels.
And a freaking thing of popcorn and brownies.
I'll tell you what, I'd go broke trying to win a championship, though. Fans would love me because that'd be fine. I'll go back to being broke. Just win a title. Win a title, and that's all I care about.
Yeah, but you wouldn't be passionate about it. You'd just be trying really
hard.
Follow
my effort. For Nate Goodyear, for Katie Christensen, Matt George behind the glass, our thanks to Aaron Aflalo. Chael Sonnen will join us tomorrow, the day.
And we won't be here because we're passionate about it, and we're not going to follow our passions.
We'll be outside broadcasting at 6 a.m. for the Sleep Train, a Foster Kids School Supplies Drive. Plan on that. Enjoy the rest of your broadcast day on Sports 1140 KHDK.